Yes, 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 yes. We're back. I'd like to thank Ray, Nitty, and maybe Shannon for giving us a powerful lunch break. They do their thing. They do their thing all the time. I'm your host, Manon Sabir, and welcome to The Grapevine on 101.7 The Truth. We're going to jump right in because we ain't got much time. I love to make sure that we are showing love to our people out in Milwaukee. Thank you all for tuning in. We got two very, very special guests in the studio today, and they're good friends of mine. I've been knowing them for a really long period of time. I call them Milwaukee legends. The reason why I call them Milwaukee legends is because they have accomplished so much in the state of Wisconsin, primarily in the city of Milwaukee. They've played almost every sport imaginable, and they stayed committed to their mission in Milwaukee. We have Randy Drew in the building today, baby.
Appreciate you having me. Man.
And also, we have the James Wright in the building. How you doing, brother?
All is well, man. All is well.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You know, I like to really get into our conversation today because I think what's necessary for us really to sit around this table as we would call ourselves super athletes.
At one point in time, we're
super athletes. But in reality, I think what's great about our union today is that we have a commitment to Milwaukee that has been unwavering. We've been committed to the education of our kids. We've been committed to the education within athletics and also food and also consistency. We've been consistent individuals in Milwaukee, and I really appreciate it. I want to give you guys y'all seeds. We don't do flowers in here. We just do seeds. We gotta water the seeds. So I want to ask kind of a general question. You guys can go back and forth, man. This is a conversation. So although we got these headphones on, these mics, you know, it's us. So although we do have to be careful about our cussing.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, this we got the kids listening. Oh, Trick, yeah. Love the kids. Why Milwaukee? Why stay? Speaking to Mike, you got to get real close to the mic.
For me personally, it was I don't know if I chose Milwaukee to stay. The last time I was playing pro sports, I was living in Canada. So when I got done with the CFL season after my fifth season, I came back every off season just because the main reason was my grandmother was here, and my brother moved away. My mother wasn't living here at the time, so I really was coming back in the off season to look after my grandma to a certain extent, and take care of things around the house and take care of one of her properties. So I still had my connection to pro ball, but my grandmother's the reason why I came back. So why Milwaukee was I would say my grandmother, for the most part.
What's your grandmother's name?
Her name was Lessie B. Qualls. God rest her soul.
You were close to her.
Very close.
I remember I met Randy during a time that you must have just been coming or going back and forth.
It was off season. Yeah, I met you in the off season, like when I was training with you and stuff. And then I go back in June.
Yep.
And then I see you back again in November.
Yo, Randy used to come in there. Randy used to come into the dojo, James.
Yeah.
Man, Randy used to come into the dojo and just go to work. And I used to be like, man, I'm about to punish this dude.
Punish me, man.
I'm gonna see what NFL superstars do, man, or CFL superstars do. But yeah, man, you hung in there. James, why Milwaukee?
For me, man, I think it was more on the lines of I wanted to give an example of what I wish I had.
Yeah.
You know, Milwaukee was just, you know, when I moved here from East St. Louis, you know, I was just an athlete.
Yeah.
But our athletes wasn't around. Like, so far as, you know, being able to walk up to, like, you know, this Giannis thing is killing me right now.
Just because we're gonna talk about this one.
just because what he did, what he's doing for the city.
Yeah.
The pros to step into the city to do stuff, to give us some tools. I wanted to be that. You know, I was still close to Vincent. Our Vincent family was strong. So yeah. I wanted to be, you know, try to lead by example. And then it couldn't happen better than for me to land at UW-Milwaukee. Just to kind of keep that example. And then to go off and come back and start teaching at my alma mater. You know, that was big for me. To be an example and try to plant seeds, as you said earlier.
Yeah. East St. Louis. Brandon, you ever been to East St. Louis?
Man, I can't say I have.
Man, listen. Listen. East St. Louis is a community. Yeah. East St. Louis used to have the statistic for one of the, I guess, per capita largest crime rates.
Yeah, I heard something like that before.
In a way.
Yeah.
And I think it was mirroring Gary, Indiana. And I know it was an industrial city. It sits outside of St. Louis.
Just across the river.
Yeah. And at the time when the industrialization left, the people stayed and it was, became a little destitute in relationship to the deindustrialization. But what I do know is that the family stayed, and a lot of people in East St. Louis, a lot of them know each other.
Yeah.
It's a lot of family.
The family is family, man. It's usually when people kind of get educated and get out, them the ones that don't go back because you see something different.
Yeah.
Because those people don't leave outside of those 88 blocks. Mm-hmm. Everybody's just between those 88 blocks. So if you go over to St. Louis, maybe, but people don't travel outside of those areas. So it's, I like to say the blind leading the blind, man.
It is.
You know, but it's still a family, even through the crime, just like everywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we got to Milwaukee, man, and Milwaukee was an upgrade from there.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I already kind of had that community idea with myself. And then I just met some great people. Your dad, man.
Yeah.
Rest his soul, man.
Yeah.
And just those guys were pillars, you know. So those guys for myself was like, that's who I want to be like.
Oh, yeah.
I can take a little bit from him, and kind of take that foundation from there.
So tell me about you guys' families, though. Because you're athletes, and I'm coining this word athlete because I want to kind of gradually get away from it,
right.
But I want to mention it because of the work that you did. But you all were multi-sport, multi-sport athletes. Yeah. So in that space, what sports did you play? I know the resumes, but tell the people what sports did you guys play.
I played everything I could growing up, to be honest. It was an outlet. I was a Boys and Girls Club
Boys and Girls
kid.
Club kid,
so I'm
man.
Sherman Park all day.
Jump rope for heart. Flag football. Man, listen, man,
whatever
if you're a club kid,
yeah.
Whatever came on that schedule for that day,
yeah.
You just did it.
Yeah.
If it was a pool contest.
Cup stack. Whatever you want to do, bumper pool.
Hopscotch.
Doing it all.
Swim. Within that day, man, we probably did about 12 sports.
What?
Within a day, man. And then just stay ultra competitive.
Mm.
And now I feel like in the Boys and Girls Club back when we was growing up, that's when you had a lot of strong black men too. So
yeah. Sam Williams.
Jimmy Banks.
Oh, yeah.
Jimmy Banks.
Sam Williams.
I played for Jimmy Banks.
Norm McGee.
Yep.
Oh, Norm, man. Tay Butter from Sherman Park. I mean, I could go Tootie. I'm just saying people names.
Yeah, go ahead.
All
you
the
can
people
say,
in the cities
say,
that
say
we
as
grew
many
up
people
with,
as you want to. We got
people,
time.
Yeah, the people that we know. It just was one of those things where it was a family outside of a family. So I played soccer, basketball, ran track. I didn't really play football till I got to high school. So I always played, like he said, in the club. We played kill the man with the ball.
Yes.
500.
Oh, 500.
Remember, that's where you get your hops at.
Yeah. So I played 1 year of like tackle football in the seventh grade, and I played like half a season.
Dang.
And then the next year, me and my brother was like, man, we felt like we got slighted because we was like in the feeder team, and everybody was friends from another school except like us.
Yeah.
So they wasn't really showing us love. We was like, man, you know, we'll just get them back freshman year. Like, so I didn't really play football, like get into it till I was a friend, but I've always been around football. My family's from football. My father was big in football, played in college, ran track, state champion. My father was a super duper athlete, you know what I'm saying? So I really take the Drew name, the Drew family. I got a lot of prominent family members and uncles and aunts out here still doing things. And,
yeah.
So I take that serious, man. So I played every sport. It's funny because I told James this before, but a few years ago, I became a client of his wife's for Northwest Mutual.
Yeah.
Her and her business partner. And I don't know how we got to talking, and she said James is her husband. I said, man, that's might be. He top five for sure in the state history, in my opinion. In my opinion, you know.
Yeah.
To be 6'6", running under 10'5", 40-inch plus vertical.
Yep.
Only thing I never saw the man do was play football. I never saw him play football.
And what's crazy is I was track, basketball, football. I only played 1 year of football. I mean, I don't mention All-American as a sophomore.
I believe it.
And didn't even know what I was
like,
doing.
I'm done.
But you know what, man? That's where fathers come in at. I wish I knew what I knew now. You know, basketball was looking promising at that time.
Mm-hmm.
But I was starting to be a part of that next generation of NFL guys where the talk to Randy Moss, where I had figured it out how to cut the field in half. And I had closing speed. And and basketball sets you up for it. I knew how to pivot. I knew how to get you in the area. Like, I had figured that out just within 2 weeks. But I hated losing so much. I just felt that the coach at that time didn't have the best interest for the black athletes. You know, we were good. He was all in, you know, doing the city. Oh, let's go get him. And then when it's time to play the suburban teams, he was, oh, Lord, let's just pray that, you know, not to win. But I'm like, man, what you talking to, man? We want to still play. It's like he just shut it down. And I was like, man, I'm thinking at that time I had a promising basketball career. So I'm like, well, I ain't going to take the chance of getting hurt if this dude don't believe. So I kind of fell back on it, but stayed around the game also enough. You know, one of my best friends was still playing, so we were like his best cheerleader, you know, Tyrone Roan. And so but track was my number one thing, actually. People don't know that, man. Yeah. I love track more than – I just couldn't get track shoes my size. Everything I did –
So how shoe you are, man?
15 and a half.
That's crazy.
But I didn't – but for track shoes, like I actually, man, for 2 years, I was running in basketball and jumping in basketball shoes until like senior year. So Michael Johnson's came out.
Yeah.
Something like that, man. And I dude said 14 and a half. So I actually squeezed my feet into 14 and a half just so I could have some track shoes.
Hey, y'all, when we come back, we're going to continue on with our Milwaukee legends, Randy Drew and James Wright. We're going to take these breaks. Before we take the break, make sure you call in or text us 833-212-1017. I know y'all gonna have some questions. Let's take these breaks, Zach. Yes, yes, we're back with Randy Drew and James Wright, Milwaukee legends. I'm going to say this again. They're Milwaukee legends first, then the athletes second. I say they're legends because they're two black men that are thriving in our community. So when you were talking about that, the coach, and I think this is a problem in sports, especially with black athletes that have high-level, you know, motors that we were talking about. Like, you can play multiple sports, right? But then you have these coaches who are not from your neighborhood that don't recognize or never played, you know, multiple sports and haven't had the exact talent within themselves. They want to rear back. And you're saying to the coach, no, let's not rear back. Let's
turn
play this dude. Let's turn it up.
Yeah.
Right? And so you're saying to the coach, put the ball in my hands and my friend's hands, and we gonna just let it go, yeah. Right?
Yeah, to a certain extent. I think it's a gift and a curse. You're your own worst enemy, especially when you're a high level athlete like James. I mean, you want it by everybody. Everybody wants you to play for them. And even when you tired, even when you got a little tweak, you such a competitor. You don't want to let nobody down.
Yeah.
Now you're running yourself into the ground. I mean, I've caught myself in that numerous times. I see as a coach now and as an older man that. It is good to have those. It. Yeah, you got to pick or have these conversations.
Just have these conversations. And that's what the piece that you were speaking on earlier. Like, our coaches, they were one way.
Yeah.
Like, I've watched his style now myself. he's great with kids, but we still meet them. It ain't just, oh, you do what I say. Da-da. You got to kind of get a feel of what's going on in their life. I pay attention to about everything, man. I take a step further. Hey, the weekend, hey, what you doing on the weekend? Make sure you're getting this prehab, because if you are doing these type things, okay, we might want to take this third Friday off.
Yeah.
Just to let you, just be still. Just ice, stretch, you know, make sure you're staying hydrated. Like those little things that we didn't do.
Yeah.
You know, but the coaches really didn't have those conversations. They just said, stop, stop, stop. And as an athlete, you're like, first of all, I'm not stopping.
Yeah.
You know, this is my livelihood to the point that where this keeps my motor going.
Yeah.
You know, I'm so competitive. So as Twin said, it's times we're like, hey, you get a call. Friday, can you play with me for this? Then Monday, hey, can you go to me with this? So it's like constantly, man, from 13 to 17, every weekend is tied up with something.
But if you weren't tied up.
Ain't no telling.
Ain't no telling.
I mean, I wasn't, you know, I'm not going to say that story. I wasn't no street. I wasn't robbing, beating up people.
Yep.
I'm from 39th and Burleigh.
Yep.
I was at the Boys and Girls Club in high school. I was, you know, I was pretty cool, but I don't want to think what if, because I, you know, I wouldn't be who I am or seen the things that I've seen, you know.
Balance.
And the balance, that's a great word. Like, so I think the bigger picture of the athletic community, which was our outlet at the time. See, now we're telling our kids, you can go to school and be an athlete, but you can also come out a lawyer. You ain't, we're not pressing pros.
Yeah,
like for us, we thought, if I'm pretty sure James thought if he didn't go to NBA, he ain't do his job. I thought if I didn't play in the NFL, I didn't do my job. Like, because I wasn't thinking big scope, what I'm capable of, what I'm saying. But now that we have the resources, I'm glad that I lived in Canada for 5 years. I played in NFL Europe over in Germany. I did these things. I played in Portland, all these things, because now I know what I can bring back and tell kids and tell my own kids that you got options. And that's why we break our necks to make sure our kids or kids that we deal with every day have options outside of sports. But you can use sports as a vehicle to get you anywhere you want to.
Propel you. And for me, it was opposite. Like, I was doing both. So I was doing the street stuff, and then...
How deep were you in the streets?
hey, what's the Wisconsin... What's the Wisconsin laws?
Statute of limitations
on some of this stuff.
But we're going to stop there.
But what I
would... Cut. No, I'm just kidding.
What I would say, man, is that I did what a lot of the community kids that are outside. I was outside. And so, you know, when you got that blind leading the blind, you know, mentality, guys telling you the wrong stuff and this is what you're doing or you should be doing. And at the end of the day, you know, being in poverty, you thinking we got to eat. So it's going to be whatever it takes. It's to the point that when I started playing sports, because that's what saved me, that it was the point I was telling my mom, hey, where did you get this money from? Basketball tournament. Or this, you know, this some money for food. Hey, this got this playing basketball. That, you know, that was just the answer to everything.
Yeah.
Which is why now, as Twin said, that balance of
Twin is Randy because he has a.
I'm sorry. Yeah, yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah, it's Randy. Yeah,
sorry, guys.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
No, you good. Call him Twin. We good.
You know, that's my dude. But Randy, like, that's what my connection is with the kids, because I can jump on it, I can smell it, I can see it. Right away, you know, to be able to break them down and build them back up and show them, like, we're going to use this. These things you've been working on your whole life. You've been running. You've been jumping. You're smart. We're just going to put it in an area where you can excel at it. So that's a thing with becoming a good coach, good father, good husband, all those things. Just putting yourself around those people or finding those people, seeking those people. But first, you got to see those people.
Yeah,
we don't get a chance to see those people. Like I said, your dad – like right away, man, he grabbed me. He first dude to put his hands on me. you know, at school.
Hey, y'all, James like 6'6". My daddy was 5'8".
Man, but I caught him when he was early, man. He still had chest and chest hair then. You know what I'm saying? He still had a chest and chest hair. So, you know, I started my little karate journey, man. And, man, you know, he come up on me in school, man, and grab my shoulders, man. It's me. Step into this classroom. I'm like, this dude got my, you know, I was probably about 6'1 at that time, but all skin and bone. He did something to my shoulder, man, and just pulled me into the classroom, man. And he told me right away, look, man, you can do this or you can do that. I can tell you what this can do for you, and I can tell you what that can do for you. But you got to make a decision. And so small words at that time frame was like, especially, you know, at teenagers, one more thing you're trying to do is see how much you can get away with.
Yeah.
You know, and you're transitioning to your little teenage years, mm-hmm. so you think you're indestructible at that time. And so, as you said earlier, just the men, man, to step in and say, this is the avenue you can go, or you need to go.
And the ones that have experience, too. Because right. I think, I mean, you know my dad, and like, what a lot of people didn't know, and I don't know if you ever heard his stories, or my father told you his stories, like, his stories were, you know, he grew up, it was 1 to 12 kids, he was a twin, and, you know, they were, everybody was an athlete, besides the girls. But he was a younger batch of kids, and man, like, you know, by that time, as a young, one of the younger kids, like, everybody's grown, so you could do whatever you want. Right. So he ran the streets. He ran the streets a lot. And he got to the point to where he knew he had to make a decision. So the decision was either what you said, either this or that. Either continue to stay on the streets, do what he did. He was a loan shark. He wound up becoming a loan shark. He did some businesses and, you know, did his thing on the street. And, you know, things happen. But he had to figure out that if I stayed there, that this is where I'm going to end up. Or if I did this thing over here, then I can go to school, I can become a community activist, I can become a black belt, I can get my doctorate in education, and I can just make a difference being honest. And I think that's one of the things that men like us have in common, is the fact that we can take some of the kids that we are around, and we can become honest with them.
Yeah.
Right? We can be honest with the kids that are 16, 17 years old who are on 39th in Burleigh right now and saying, like, man, I ain't got no other place to go. Well, look, you got five sports to enter. You got basketball, wrestling, track, football, you know, baseball. Like, you can do whatever you want, but you got to follow me. Just listen to me at the very least, right?
I think the number one thing, and I live by this, is discipline, man. And I know discipline comes out in different forms in different people. But discipline is something you can't hide.
Yeah.
If you are truly entrenched in something that you love, it precedes you before you even say a word. You walk in the room, people can read your profile. They look, because your body, your language, your posture, your aura, your glow, your just whatever, your vibe, whatever people say, like, that don't lie.
Yeah.
And like I said, you know, I've been fortunate. Like, I didn't go to school with James. We used to ride. We was rivals. I hated James in high school, actually. I hated him in high school.
Because he was winning every time.
Big bro was unstoppable, man. Couldn't beat him. We sitting here, we cool in the North Shore winning.
Yeah.
And we say, okay, we're going to see Vincent in the sectional final. All right, season over with on March 31st. Yeah. You know, whatever the case may be, you know, we gonna play.
Yeah.
Because the good thing is that even though I was a 220 kid out there, I was from the city, so I knew everybody.
Yeah.
Which comes to my bigger point is that this community of athletes in Milwaukee that you're starting to see more and more of, we are all tied together in some type of way. We come to meet us three right here.
Yeah.
And if us three go and take us and plant us somewhere else, it's gonna be six more people that one of us know, or all of us know, or two of us know, which gonna multiply and multiply and multiply. And I think that's the effect that James was talking about that we're starting to have now, because a lot of former athletes have done some major things, are doing major things in the city, and now we slowly starting to trickle back. Now, James is in education, I'm in education. You know, you in radio, you've been an entrepreneur, all that type of stuff. So we all give back in different ways.
Yeah.
But now we can all use each other in our different avenues to give back to whatever we're trying to give back to. That's the bigger picture.
And it's been fun already, man. It's been times like Randy has sent one of his athletes over to me. I send one over to him. And I know he's going to get the same thing, man. And we're in different schools.
Yeah.
And he'll say, hey, you go work out with Jay Wright. Take his number. You go work out with him. This is what he's doing. I say, hey, this is Randy's number. You go, Coach Randy, work out with him. And, like, even I think we just had a situation with a young lady on his team, man, and she was having some language at one of the track meets. And I put her to the side, man. I put her to the side. I said, hey, that's not what we do. That's not how we conduct ourselves. You know, I don't want to hear that anymore. I want to hear your name. I only want to hear your name when you go across that line. You know, you got to be an example, like, right away. I seen her the next track meet, and she says, Coach Randy just said the same thing you said to me. Are y'all brothers?
Yes.
I said, yeah, that's my brother. He said the same exact thing. Like, you must have called him and told him. I said, nope, We speak the same language.
Yeah. Yep.
So it's kind of cool now, man. It's now, because I'm recruiting brothers. I'm recruiting people that have the best interests of our kids to say, hey, it takes a village. Like, yep. It really does, man. Mm-hmm. And I think it's crazy that we're here in this space because we come from the era where we don't really talk about ourselves. We let others do it.
Yeah.
And it's kind of flip-flop now. Like, you got to run your resume now. And I'm terrible. I'm like, man, I don't want to be, you know, telling all. It's just, let's work right now.
Yeah.
But now you got to put your resume for it before you say something to a kid because they'll Google you now,
man.
YouTube you, and, you know, they'll run it. And then what's helped me now, because now we're starting to get the generation of kids where their parents went to high school or from that time frame.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Now
yeah,
they're saying, oh, Jay, are you here?
Yeah.
Whatever he says. And the kid, like, wait a minute, how you just go?
How you just hand my rights over to old boy?
It's starting to happen now, man. So those seeds that was planted and the discipline thing that Randy talked about, like, that statue, that's your brand.
Yeah.
You know, and once you go in, that's what you're known for. You're known for winning. He's known as being one of the best athletes. Myself, you, like, people are starting to speak those things and they're starting to put it out there. I'm not even on social media, man.
Yeah.
And I'll get a text or a screenshot. Hey, man, they talking about you on this or that.
Yep. Yeah. Hey, y'all, we're going to come right back with Randy Drew and James Wright. This is a great conversation, man. I'm learning a whole lot. Let's take these breaks. So, Randy, tell us about the resume. Like,
you
got to run the resume.
Yeah, when James said that, it kind of made me have an aha moment because you never know. I've had kids come up to me out the blue like, you played pro football? And I'm like,
they don't even recognize that.
Who told you that?
You played for the, you was,
I was with the 49ers for a second, man. Yeah. You know, I never stepped on the grass on Sundays, man. I got hurt in camp. I played in NFL Europe. But I always tell my true pro career, I played 5 years, good years in the CFL in Canada before I had my last injury.
Yep.
But it's almost like a rite to pass. Like when we was growing up, you know, an elder speak to you, not even elder, but somebody of authority, an older person speak to you, you going to listen up because 9 times out of 10, they probably know your mama, they know your daddy, they know your auntie. So it's going to get back to somebody.
Yeah.
And not to say the kids or whatever, but it's like I've had kids, you know, ask me about my, and then sometimes they say, you used to play ball? I say, who told you that? Mm, yeah. Well, somebody, and I said, yeah, you know, that was a while ago. Because I'm like, James, like it feels a lot better for somebody else to tell my story. Not even tell my story, but somebody else to acknowledge what I've done.
Yeah.
As opposed to us getting on, because he's like he said, it do feel weird sometimes saying, well, I did this. But once the kids know that, or I could tell a kid, they say something, Mr. Randy, you, Mr. Drew, Mr. Randy, blah, 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 and it's like, man, I'm from 39th and Burleigh. You from the zoo?
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, first of all, it wasn't called the zoo when I was growing up.
Right.
Yeah. But yes, I lived on 39th Burleigh for over, you know, 13, 14 years.
Yeah.
I'm a Sherman Park kid.
Yeah.
But they see us now, they wouldn't know. Mr. Wright, I'm calling Mr. Wright, James's background or stuff he's doing in the street, they wouldn't know that because all they see is a stand-up man, a pillar in this community, an educator, a father, or a coach. They don't know the other side.
Yeah.
And it's almost like you got to step into the dark side for them to be like, oh, yeah. Now I can listen to Coach now because he know what it is. Like, nah, I don't want that for you.
Yeah, why can't you listen to me from the get-go? And, you know, it's funny because the BSU kids, man, they were doing a slideshow, man, and they went on the internet, found some pictures, man. Like, wait a minute, Coach Wright. You know, cause, I was bald by choice. You know, I used to always shave my head. You know, and so then I got hair, and they were like, "Wait a minute, that's your coach?" Because people gotta look to see, you know, who that is.
Yeah.
And you know, it's that time frame now. And like you said, people are saying, "Oh man, that's your coach." And so I'm getting now that parents are like, "Wait a minute, that's your coach?" You know, you better listen to him. Do you know he did? Da, 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 da.
Yeah.
And the kid's like, "Wait a minute, he ain't said it. What do you mean he ran a 10-2? How did he run a 10-2? Or he had a 46-inch vertical?" I know these things. Like, I talk crazy because I'm a competitor. I'm always talking crazy to him. It's actually funny, man. This is the first year, or maybe the second year, that I didn't race anybody on the track team.
Really?
Even when I got up to I was up to about 288.
Yeah.
None of the kids didn't beat me. So that kind of started like a little urban legend more. Because they was like, man, because I always waited to the end of the year. They don't know I'm secretly working out, doing all this stuff. Or I do something like after repeat 400s. I'm like, all right. Let's have that race now.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But strategically, I still was enough to hit them gears. And they be like, wait a minute, man. You ain't supposed to be moving like that.
Right.
I'm like, I still got gears. You don't lose that. It's just the endurance behind it.
How did you guys, when you entered a race or you got on the field or whatever it is, right? Like, how did you both, what was your mentality? Because you, 39th and Burleigh, what street was you on?
Meadows. I'm from the North
Meadows. Oh, the Meadows. Yeah.
The Meadows,
so you're the Meadows. Like, you're from these neighborhoods, you kind of know what's going on. Your friends are like probably in and out of they're in and out, whatever.
Then,
but your mentality, when you lace up them shoes and you see what you got to do, what are you thinking? What are you actually thinking?
Man, that's a great question, man, because I wore my neighborhood with pride, man.
Yeah.
Like, I think even with our Vincent team, that's what made us, because everybody was prideful of their neighborhoods.
Yeah.
And so it's like you're the representative of that neighborhood.
Yep.
You're in there. So I called it Voltron. Like, you know, when you get together and we go create something.
Yeah.
But, I, man, every dunk, everything was a – like, I'll tell you, Meadows, I'll do something – I'll run and run past you and say Meadows, like, no, like it was prideful, man.
Yeah.
At that time frame, you know,
just not backing down, man. I'm not a big guy in stature, so you know, I wasn't 6 foot this and that. So me, it was just always, you know, I'm here to compete. You know,
tenacious though.
I had to get at it. I mean, yeah. I took my lumps too, man. You know, I was a state champ in the hurdles, right?
Yeah.
I should have been a 2-time, but I got suspended my junior. I was hurt. But I used to get walked by Dave Whitten and them when I was a freshman. So
man,
walked.
Them dudes, man.
I'm talking about they put me on the – and it's like every day, it's like I got to beat Dave.
Got to get better.
Never beat him, but it's like him and Corey. I can't remember Corey's last name, but Dave and Corey, the two Vincent hurdlers.
Oh, yeah, the hurdlers.
Well, they were seniors when I was sophomores. They're the reason why I got to stay as a sophomore, chasing them. So everything I did, I took in lumps. But like I always say, you know, when you talk about stuff, it's a lot of people who competed against me who will tell you, like, it was hell. It wasn't even like – I wasn't going to let up. And I didn't have like a little man thing, because I'm kind of quiet by nature. But when I'm competing, I don't want to fail. I don't want to lose. And that's just the attitude.
Were you born with that though? Was that something like that when you were at home, somebody, mom, pops was like, yo, this is what you going to do?
Nah, man. I just was naturally athletic. And I ain't going to lie. I got to give a shout out to my brother, man. My brother, Rodney Drew. When you got a twin, you got somebody to go against in every single thing you do. So
every day,
man, fighting.
I'm watching my twins. Dude. Yeah. I got the two sets of twins.
Oh, yeah,
fighting every day.
I'm watching it happen right before my eyes, man. I'm like, you guys don't got to fight over that spoon. Like it's two of them.
Yeah,
like reading everything is a competition. Everything. If you answer a question, the other one is coming with a better question or answer, and it just keeps going in a circle. So as a parent, man, it's like. I see it, like they have to, but they make each other better.
Yeah,
but I never purposely put them against each other.
Uh-huh.
But by nature, man, they watching and looking what the result or how the reaction of how you treat the other.
Mm-hmm.
So they can be around that corner. You can be talking to one, and they'll just be looking, waiting to see, you know, how to answer, how your facial expression, how you're gonna hug. Like I have to pay attention.
Yeah.
To all those things, man, 'cause twins.
There has to be. There's also a certain level of aggression that you got to have, right? Like it brings it out. I remember my brother was older, 3 years older than me, and he has super fast hands, man. Even to this day, I've seen people with fast hands, but I'm like, man, I hate to get hit by him because he would hit me in between my punches.
Yeah.
So you can throw really fast punches, really fast kicks. But he hits you in between the punches,
right?
And so
that's fast.
And it's really fast. And so I seen this dude. He was hitting the speed bag, and he's hitting the speed bag so cold. He hits the speed bag, boom, and he breaks the link, the chain link off the speed bag, the ones we had in the karate school, right? So I'm like, all right, like how do I get better than that? And I had to every time I fought, and every time I went against somebody. My brain, it just turned on. And it was like, all right, I gotta speed this up. Cause
it's
I can't
competitive nature.
I couldn't lose. If I lost to him, then I'm losing to everybody else. But if I won against him, then I'm winning against everybody else.
Sure. Yeah.
Like I'm blowing the competition out.
You set the bar for you.
You set the bar.
Yes.
And that's how I started with myself, like as a fighter, just because I was taller earlier, I was fighting grown men.
Mm.
You know, I was outside.
Yeah.
And so then when mom put me in taekwondo, she was like, hey, you know, this you're going to get some discipline.
Yeah.
She just created an animal even more, you know, because it was like, I already know how to fight. And now you don't give me these weapons like to do it.
Yeah.
And that's when I got with your dad. Then I got with the Nash brothers.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
With Kevin Nash and them, man.
Kevin,
those guys,
Reggie,
man, Reggie, they trained me, man.
Yeah.
And so they were in their primes and they were just like finishing fighting.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, man, I ain't no no project. Like, y'all got me are doing stuff, man. And so then I'm like, all right, I got to get in between. I got to get my balance. I got to learn these kicks. I got to grapple. Like, and so, man, that kind of went into athletics because I wasn't playing the sport. I was fighting.
Mm.
That was my fight.
Yeah.
You know, I'm rebounding, I'm pushing, I'm boxing. I'm touching you.
Yeah.
That's how I released my anger. That's how I, that transitioned into athletics, even when racing.
Yeah.
You know, it was the same thing. Like, football is the same thing. Just total, just, it's a fight. It's a fight.
And it builds confidence.
And it builds confidence.
It builds, like, I never thought I was in a situation where I never had a chance.
Mm.
Never thought. Like I said, I made a joke about it earlier, but, like, I look forward to playing Vincent.
Yeah.
Because why can't we beat them this time?
Yeah.
And like I say, man, I give them so much. I know all them boys. Yeah. Went against them. I used to hoop against George Hyshaw since I was like 8. Like, basketball wasn't my thing, but I could play it well enough to be, you know what I'm saying? So it was like, I've never been in a game or a situation where I thought we didn't have a chance because I wasn't out there.
Yeah.
I was on the floor.
Yeah.
We had a shot. And that's how I carried myself and everything again, because, like, I wasn't the biggest. I wasn't the tallest. But by halftime, but man, who got Drew? Man, somebody get him, whether it's football. we run track. I'm a 5'9" on a good day hurdler.
Yeah.
You know, you see hurdlers James size.
Yeah.
So when I started hurdling, it was my said, I'm gonna be the smallest hurdler. I'm gonna be the smallest state. Like, everything I did for me was like, I got a chance to do it.
Raising that bar,
right? Because you create that confidence. That's why I love sports for kids. I tell my own son, you know, all my sons, whatever. It don't matter if you're the best on the team or the worst on the team. The tools that you get from playing.
Yeah.
Is what's going to make you a better man. If you're good enough to go D1, if you're good enough to go pro, those type of things take care of themselves.
Right.
They take care of themselves because at that point, you know, your athletic attributes will pick up, your work ethic will pick up, you'll be a student of the game. Those things take over.
Yep.
So it ain't about you 11, you got to go pro.
Yep.
That's why sometimes when we see these videos, you know, they show you 11-year-old, I'm like, oh, he cold. But like, what if he don't grow no more?
Yeah.
You know, what if
are other intangibles?
Where he stay 5'1"?
Yeah.
Well, by high school, the worst dude on the team, mess around, be a monster in high school. Like, it's so many things that go into. So are you treating your kids, or are we treating these kids be well-rounded individuals?
Durable. Mm. Man.
Durable.
Durable. Man.
Strong, confident.
Yeah.
Picking up things. Be coachable.
Right.
That's nothing they don't understand. Coachable. Yo, you got your daddy and them telling y'all the best thing ever, but don't nobody want to touch you because they can't talk to you.
Yep. Mm.
Are you coachable? Can I put you on a team? Can I trust you to go off to school? And that's what I'm talking about with James. We talk about these things. We could talk to kids. I lived on my own since I was 18. Yeah. On my own, technically, like in college, then from there to pros. I'm living in different countries.
But this is the first time. We're the first, like, to do it in our family. So we're learning by trial and error.
Yeah.
Like, with that. And, like, I watch him with his son, man. It's funny because, like, we go out, you know, we flag football or whatever the sport may be. But I see him. He always breaking a lesson down in a moment. And it's funny he said that because my wife was just telling my son something I told him I told him just about competing. I don't care about the win or the loss.
Right. Yeah.
It's whether you go get back up and how you handle it, because my son is a sore loser right now.
Yeah.
And I'm like, but he's so competitive. I remember being like that at one point. But my wife told him, she said, hey, she showed him a YouTube clip about a young man. She's just telling him, you don't want to be in the sport and be invisible.
Mm.
So you don't want to be invisible. You want to find your way. You know, you learn it, but you don't want to be invisible. You don't want to just be out there going through the emotions, just going. You got to find a way to leave a mark.
Yeah, yeah.
That's in every sport.
And when we come back, we're going to come back and talk about the invisibility and sports in our community, in Milwaukee in particular, and how we can change the game. Man, so we got kids out here who don't want to compete with each other. The all-time modern topic of today is, y'all gonna laugh, it's okay, baby. It's just participation.
Nah, I can't.
Nah, man.
It's participation.
After sixth grade, you gotta throw some skin in the game.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, man, I tell people I'm gonna go down on my sword, because realistically, you gotta coach the parents too.
Right.
You know, when you got your own kids, you know, you want them to compete, as I said earlier, we want them to compete, but have an understanding.
Yeah.
Like, because this is what life is. We're trying to use the sport to help you for life. Life is competition.
Yeah.
And so you're trying to teach these kids, like, at one point, you're going to have to take a step foot out in front of your friend.
Yeah.
Because now this is the generation where everybody gets a medal, which is cool. We got games for that. We got leagues for that. But when it gets to a certain level, you got to fight.
Mm-hmm.
That's just all it comes down to. You got to create that gauntlet and that respect and set those boundaries and let them know. I tell them all the time when they walk in the door, it's good that we got the summer programs.
Mm-hmm.
And that I tell them right away, hey, separate from your friends right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay to be the girl or be the guy and have some moxie and have some confidence within what you do, because if you put in the time, you deserve that.
Yep.
And that's what I try to tell the parents too. If your kid put in the time and I know what they're doing, I'm okay with maybe working them in within the team plan, but not because you said.
Yeah.
But if with the team concept, and I know you grinding and you understand that you got to compete, so create that gauntlet for your players.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes further then, because now the way it is now, everybody gets a medal, it's just a lot of tears.
Yeah.
It's just still a lot of cries.
I remember my dad. Yo, my father's wild, man. But he was always like, he was the one that would always say, he had this saying. It's super simple. And we have this saying too. We all have it. We would tell our the people that we're working with, our students, be first, be number one.
Yeah.
Like, but my father would always, even in the martial arts, would be like, be first. So when you're fighting somebody, it's almost imperative to be first, even if you're counterfighting.
Yep.
Even if you're on defense, be first on that, because you don't want to get hit, right? You want to be the one to do the hitting. But he's also like the one, he will always say, even in the competition, don't bring number two.
Right.
Don't bring number two.
Yeah.
Be number one. And that goes over to the mastery, not just within the sport, but outside of the sport, as you were talking about. Yeah. And as you were saying, like, you're not just not playing these sports just to play.
Right.
Yeah. Right? You're playing these sports because you want to master something, because then you'll take that mastery and push it over to, you know, your corporate career, your real life, and you'll be able to master something, like master discipline, master your relationship, whatever it is you want to, master your relationship with God.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you're able to master something.
And you're planting that seed early to do that.
Yeah, man.
And that's where it transitions to all those other things.
Yeah.
It's dividends. You get what you put in is what you get out.
Right.
And that's what I try to tell people all the time, especially, like I said, my son is going into the sixth grade, and I constantly chew his ear up. But I'm just telling him, like, man, you know, it's crazy, because you can really control how good you want to be.
Yeah.
Once you get to the age, and I don't even know if I ever thought about that. I don't know if James ever, but it's like, because I think my athleticism came so easy to me, I didn't really think about that. But what if we would have been to the point of having somebody talking to us about, figure out what you do well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And master that part.
Yeah.
So then that expose things you need to work on, as opposed to I'm just doing everything, but I'm so much better than people that I'm getting away with bad habits.
And that's where pros, that's the difference between pros and Joes. Like, even though that's deep. All these things coming out of Milwaukee now, the difference of us doing it, I kind of mentioned it later, is having that pro to come in and tell you those things. Like, we did everything by trial and error.
Yeah.
But I used to say that, because it was people say, oh, it comes to you easy. No, it didn't come to me easy. I actually worked on this.
Yeah.
Like, I remember from 5 years old, just racing. You know, East St. Louis, everything's a race.
Yeah.
Like, that's why they have the most track athletes to come out of there.
Yeah.
Family, everything was a race. Everything was a relay. Like, it was just building that motor. And I played outside all day. Then, being a club kid, we played all day.
Yeah.
So you're working every muscle. The things that they're paying for now is what we did within a sport.
Mm-hmm. Daily.
Daily.
For
daily.
Free.
For free.
You get what I'm saying?
Yep.
And so people are paying these trainers. And I'm telling people, like, look, man, just come over and work out with me. I got something for you.
Yep.
Let's hit this track.
Yep.
Let's hit this hill.
Yeah.
Let's just get some discipline on this, getting up every day at the same time, this repetition of training your body, like Randy said, just those disciplines, man. And this is the only thing I'm mad about in life, between this and the clock.
Yeah.
Because you can't, you know, we can't beat Father Time.
Nope.
But
also that these kids can do so little
yeah.
and get a lot right now. Like, we did a lot. Like, we did a lot. And they can do, and I tell the athletes now, look, man, it's unfortunate that if all three of us in this room, in our 24, we all go to practice, right? Yeah. We all do whatever we do.
Yeah.
You can work one more hour than him. I can work one more hour than you. And you're still right there.
Yeah.
But we can reap the benefit, like, because everybody's just doing the same thing at the same rate
mm-hmm.
every day.
Yeah.
And so now, you can, if you put 2 days in there, or if you work out 5 days on your craft, you can get a D1 scholarship.
Kobe said it right.
Easy.
Kobe was like, you know, and Jordan, them guys, you know, and more and other people.
Yeah.
But putting in the work on the front end pays off on the back end.
10,000 hours.
If somebody's in the gym for, I don't know, if your opponent's in the gym for 10 hours
yeah.
per day, you're looking like, okay, if they're in the gym for 10 hours, I need to be in the gym for about 15.
Yeah.
Like, I need to.
Nothing beats intentional hard work.
Yeah.
So like James said, everything's catchy now. You can go on YouTube, somebody can do a clip, because they're really just showing clips of the people doing stuff perfect.
Right.
Yeah. They're doing them like, oh, he cold. You just seen them do the end result of something.
Yeah.
Nobody sees what it took to get to that point. Whether this kid can do it 10 times or you just caught him on the one time he did it out of 10 tries.
Right.
You don't know. So that's why I tell my son all the time, like, you control your destiny as far as your craft, your discipline, and your focus.
Yep.
You can go outside every day right now for 20 minutes and do ball handling drills.
Yep.
And in a month or two, your ball handling will tremendously increase. You'll be a better basketball player. You can go outside right now, take the speed ladder, hit the ladder.
Yep.
In a month or two, you will tremendously increase your speed, your agility, your jumping, because these are things you control. So like James said, we did that because I'm chasing him through the park.
Yep.
We flipping off of picnic tables.
Get off that mat, go catch ringworm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep. And when we come back, we're going to come right back. We're going to take a quick break. Well, kind of a break. And then we'll be right back with Randy Drew and James Wright on The Grapevine.